Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, once again, you are now tuned into Are You, it's personal, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopperwood, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night, normally from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But due to my pastor's request, I had to be at choir rehearsal, and I just got home. So we are doing the show tonight, starting at 8:30, but we'll still do a whole hour from 8:30 tonight until 9:30 tonight, Eastern Standard Time. Our guest is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. So I'm asking all the listeners, and especially for those of you that may be dialing in for the first time or tuning in for the first time on tonight, please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready, so that you can follow along with this awesome man of God as he get ready to deliver and share with us another word from the Lord on tonight. The word of God says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So that's why we don't want anyone to ever take it lightly or ever think that we're making up things as we go. That's why you need your Bible to read it for yourself, what thus says the Lord. We get ready to go into prayer. I'm asking our listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer, on behalf of Mother Margie Phillips, Sister Mary Ann King, who both are still hospitalized on tonight, we ask in prayer for them and all others that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to ask the Lord to send, we don't have to ask the Lord to go anywhere because we know that He's already there. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again thanking you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy of our praise, and we know that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you for this another day that you have made, and you've allowed us to wake up and see it without hurt, harm, or danger. We also thank you for every angel that you have encamped all around your children. We now pray and ask Heavenly Father that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox, his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you are moved by your Spirit. Touch Mother Phillips on tonight. Touch Mary Ann King, who are both still hospitalized on tonight. And all those that may be sick and afflicted, may be hospitalized or at home on their sick beds, wherever they may be, we already know that you are there. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So we ask that you would move by your Spirit, touch and strengthen and heal their bodies in the name of Jesus as only you can, so that they will have a testimony and not be afraid or be ashamed to be a witness and let the world know without a doubt that it was you who have healed them, delivered them, and set them free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We continue to lift up all those that have grieved on tonight all over the land. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Brother, gospel singer Wonder Boy Johnson, we continue to lift up his family in the name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to comfort and strengthen them as well. And let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence, even during that hour of bereavement. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We know that we don't deserve it, but we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your sufficient grace that you extend toward each one of us. We now pray and ask that you will move by your Spirit through your word on through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. Should there be any listeners that's not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said through your word that will touch their hearts and their minds, that they will open their own mouths to confess their sins and ask what must they do to be saved in Jesus' name, even on tonight, that you alone, Heavenly Father, will get the glory. We continue to lift up and pray for all those that faithfully tunes in, whether by phone or through social media platforms around the world, to this worldwide ministry. Continue to bless them all. Grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, as usual, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to us saying on tonight, watch people's actions, and you won't be fooled by their words. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Watch people's actions, and you won't be fooled by their words. I do welcome and all comments and feedback from all listeners. As always, I welcome comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And please take note that I do not own the copyrights of any songs or music played on this worldwide ministry platform. And also, please take note that all of my broadcasts are kept in archives. So all you have to do is go to my show website, blogtalkradio.com/servants, with an S on the end, servants, ambassadors, vessels. You can always go to that website and pull up any show that has been aired for the past 9 years and be blessed all over again by God's word. And through the testimonies and through authors that have written books that are blessings and that will inspire you. And anyone else that have come over this worldwide platform and being a blessing to the body of Christ, you can always go to my worldwide platform and listen all over again and be blessed. So we can ready to go to our music break song on tonight. And then we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. And because of the state that this world is in right now and God's word is being true, we see it more and more every day that God's word is being fulfilled. So we shouldn't be alarmed or be afraid. That's why we have to do what? Be more prayerful. So that's why we're praying for you all once again on tonight. Pray for me.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Yes, sir. Pray for me. mama. Down by the altar, Lord Jesus. Listen. Please, please, please don't forget to pray for me. How many of y'all know that song? Do you know that song? If you ain't too cute to say it, help the praise team sing.
Yes, yes, yes. The word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous, guess what? They still avail much. Much prayer, much power. So, again, we want to continue to lift up the family of Brother Keith Wonderboy Johnson. If you all are familiar with him, this was a young man that sung gospel praises unto the Lord. And he made his heavenly transition. So we want to continue to lift up his family and all those that are bereaved on the land, all over the land, that the Lord would continue to touch their hearts and let them feel his presence even as they grieve and go through their bereavement. And also, we want to continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife, Betty Cox. We want to continue to lift her up as she is going through rehabilitation due to the stroke that she had a couple of months ago. But she is home, but she's going through rehabilitation now. So we want to continue to lift both of them up in prayer, that God will continue to still bless and strengthen them. So now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you for mentioning my wife's name and as well as mine in the prayer that was just implemented. We need all the prayer that we can get, because I just say this is a mean and this is a cruel world.
Yes,
I just thank the Lord once again for this opportunity to bring forth his word. Thank the Lord for the call I received from Brother Brown the other day. He called me. I don't know why he ever think that I'm going to tell him no, I can't do it. But he called me and said, well, would you be so kind as to bring forth the Lord's word? It's always my pleasure to bring forth the Lord's word. Now, those
Amen.
That know me, that the Lord allows me to study extensively so that I could bring forth his word. And I asked him to help me. It's nothing that I'm doing, but it's just the Lord blessing the material that he gave me. Now,
that's right.
The poem that the Lord gave me tonight is a time, and it's a very short poem. It's called A Time to Be Quiet. There's a time to be quiet and a time to be still. A time to submit and do God's will. A time for conversation, a time not to speak. If you don't respond to foolishness, doesn't mean you are weak. A time to heed the master's call, a time to say nothing at all. We must bridle our tongue. I dare you to try. You may say the wrong thing at the wrong time when it was a time to be quiet. Amen. Now,
amen.
It's coinciding with the poem, is coinciding with tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the seventh verse, and it reads, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I'm going to stop right there. And I just read to you from the King James Version of the Bible. We know that there are many publications, and they basically are saying the same thing. I derive more information, to me anyway, because that's what I was born, and you know, that's why I was born into the church with the King James Version. And so may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. If we were to take just an excerpt out of the said scripture, it would be from the last verse, the last sentence in the seventh verse of the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. And it says, a time to keep silence. Okay. Now the topic that the Lord gave me to give to you tonight is know when to be quiet. And the reason why this is more prevalent is because as Christians sometimes we say the wrong thing. No, we say the right thing at the wrong time. And what is doing this scattering God's sheep. We have to be able to know the difference. If you notice, all of the scriptures in Ecclesiastes from the third chapter, from the first down through possibly the 10th and 11th verse, they have the opposite things of what we should do. Have, you know, time to speak, a time to dance, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. So we must learn the difference, because there are sometimes speaking at the wrong time can do more harm than it does us good. It does the perpetrator more harm than it does him good. If you don't believe me, we could go to the book of Exodus and we could see how Pharaoh responded to the commandments that the Lord had given him that come from God. It says in the scripture that Pharaoh's heart waxed cold. And this is what's happening nowadays. When you tell people what thus saith the Lord, their heart waxed cold. They leave away from the safety, the ark of safety, to return no more. So we have to know when to be quiet, because an individual does not say anything doesn't mean that that other individual has gotten away with anything. So we have to pick, and we have to choose. We have to be inspired by the Lord when to say something. Now I wrote down a few notes, write down my notes and tell you what it said to me. And then we're going to go strictly scripture. So there are times when we need to be quiet. There are times we need to speak up. And there are times when we need to remain silent. Now I want you to listen to this very carefully. So the time when we need to remain silent is when we are removing ourselves away from conflict. Have you ever had a disagreement with somebody and then it got heated and you tried to get your point over, they tried to get their point over, and then you begin to become, and they begin to come more and more irate because you're not listening to them and they're not listening to you. So the Word of God is saying that we have to be able to remove ourselves away from conflict. Also, when you're listening to instructions, when the preacher is, that's why when the deacons or whoever is in charge of the service before the pastor comes up, they ask that you give that individual your undivided attention. Why? Because it's very important, because that preacher at that particular time is going to instruct you on the things that thus said the Lord. And it's also good to be quiet when the preacher is praying, because when he is praying and that demon comes out of that individual, guess what? He'd have got comfortable in there, and sometimes he'd be sweating, pouring down his head as big as dill pickles. And that demon is looking for some place to go. And that loose mind that don't have their mind on the Lord,
he's
going to be a victim. So that's why it's important to try to be quiet and to keep our children quiet as well. Because there's many children, many people went to a church service, a good Christian, and came home a demon. Why? During prayer service, that individual was focused on something else. So that's why it's important to be quiet. Also, we have to be quiet when it comes down to controlling our speech. And that's very important, because sometimes people can aggravate you so bad that foul things come out of your mouth, inappropriate things come out of your mouth, things come out of your mouth that should not come out of your mouth, which cast a doubt upon who you are and who you represent. Now, a perfect example of that is, I know that we all, when we were coming up, was told this by our parents and our grandparents, and it was, if you don't have nothing good to say, you know the rest
of it. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing.
So we're supposed to bring forth God's word in a timely fashion, but it's not always good to blurt out how we feel. Another time to be quiet, and that's when chastisement is going forth. The Lord says to a lot of people, say they shall, woe to them that knoweth and doeth not, they shall be whipped with many a stripe. So, and I call these type of people Satan sympathizers, who see that the word is chastising somebody, or better yet, we'll look at this, then we're going to get back to the word. Have you ever seen, you know, been over a sister or brother's house or a friend's house, and they, son or daughter, did something that required some immediate action, some immediate punitive action from that person? And we thought that it was a little bit too severe for them. And so we said, okay, come on to, you know, auntie, come on to uncle. And then we even go so far as to say they didn't mean it. Now, I don't know about you, but when the preacher is bringing forth the word, and then, as I said, we have those Satan sympathizers that go behind the preacher and try to sugarcoat what was being said, then, if you think about it, it's calling God a lie, saying he didn't mean it. But if you whip with many stripes, then this is just saying that the punishment for whatever it was that you've done is going to be severe. But the thing about it is that that punishment did not do what? It did not kill you. And sometimes we got to stand still in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we need to be silent and get away from distractions to do what? To hear the Lord. A lot of times we try to listen to the word, and so many things going on around us that we lose our focus and we begin to concentrate on those different things that is going on around us. That's why it's very important that we know when to be quiet. I didn't say just shut up completely, because God's word said that if your brother is wrong, you're supposed to do what? You're supposed to tell him of it. But you're supposed to tell him in a way in which it does not drive him away. Because if you go to him and you say, hey, brother, that was really inappropriate what you said or what you did. Because if you call him, then he say, oh, and then you explain to him, then he would thank you if he's any type of brother at all. But if you call him out, man, you know you're wrong. You ain't got no business doing that. You need to be bought and all. See, when people bring forth that type of correction, it brings about a rebellion. And see, Ecclesiastics, it tells us the right time to do something and what's not the right and the wrong time to do something. That's why we must learn. We must train ourselves, because there are too many loose lips in the church. The reason why I say that is because once those instructions are given, we don't have no business going back, going behind the preacher and giving our spin on something. If he's truly a man of God, if she's truly a woman of God, then we should be able to stand behind their word. But because we favoritize some people, then we thought that conversation was a little bit too harsh for them. See, that's the crazy thing about it. Some people be so flagrant in their sin, they don't care who knows it. But these are the same people that we feel, okay, it wasn't ashamed when they did it, but I ain't going to be ashamed when I tell them about it. Sometimes that's not your job. Sometimes you just have to be silent. Because why? Because it's strength. It's strength in being silent. It's intelligence in being silent. Because we learn as we get older that sometimes you just can't comment on everything. See, it's essential that when we walk with the Lord, that we got to be silent before him, because he's forever teaching us something. Even in our observation of the things he do, we don't want to distract those people that is around him, those people that he are instructing just as well as us. So we got to be able to discern that. See, as I said, silence is a source of great strength. And wise men are not always silent, but they know when to be silent. You know, you might find somebody that talk a lot, but then they know when to be quiet. They know when the instructions are coming forth to them. And God is the best listener that we know. You don't need to cry out loud. You don't need to shout, because he hears you. He even hears a silent prayer from a sincere heart. So, and to back that up, Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the 17th verse says, the quiet words of a wise man are more to be heeded than the shouts of rulers or fools. So if somebody comes to you quietly and instruct you, because there are a lot of people, just to get your attention and how they say the showboat on you, they will broadcast your sin. Even though it might be obvious sometimes that sin does not need to be broadcast, we need to pull that person over to the side to tell them about it. God's word says if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. It didn't say take out a full-page ad in the daily newspaper and tell the world. It said tell him of it. So he's the first one that you should go to. And then from there, once you tell him of it and you don't see no correction or no improvement, you go and get another reliable witness, and you both go to that brother and tell him, hey, brother, you know, you're rooting out of order, and it's spreading around the church, and it's, you know, and it's becoming more and more obvious. You're becoming a little bit more defiant to the word of God. Okay, and if he still, or she still, does not correct it, then that's when you bring that brother or the sister before the church. So we must learn as we get older to be silent. To be silent sometimes in anger situations. Now sometimes people might make you so angry that you could cook Sunday dinner on your neck. But it says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or your cause of anger. So sometimes in those situations when people begin to get on our last nerve, that's when we, you know, when somebody, they might get on your nerve, but when they get on your last nerve, that means that you don't have no more nerve for them to get on. And so you're going to strike out and tell them how you feel. Not what does say the Lord. You're going to move the Lord out the way and you're going to tell them how you feel. So we have to learn how to be silent in an angry situation. Okay, now Proverbs 17 and 28 says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent with their mouth shut. So I could be the biggest fool in town, but then as long as I keep my mouth shut, there is no confirmation. There is no confirmation. See, sometimes we give people confirmation that we are this and we are that. But
right.
If you just be quiet, they seem intelligent. Man, that, you know, that guy was up there, you know, you might nod your head and say, man, that dude was agreeing with me. Man, that dude, that's a pretty smart dude. Why? Because we're on the same page. We are on one accord. Now, Proverbs, the 29th chapter, 11th verse, say, a fool lets fly all his temper, but a wise man keeps it back. So this is one of those fly off the handle, loose lip, loose cannon type of individual. Because see, some people say, man, if I don't tell you how I feel about this situation, I'll drop before I get to you. So we got some people just hell-bent on informing you that they know that you're wrong. But that's not a wise thing to do. So we got to know when to be quiet. And I'm going to keep reiterating that we got to know when, because whatever is being done at that particular time, they're not getting away with it. But it was just not time to speak on it. Even the Lord, when he was going through what he was going through, when they tortured him, when they beat him all night long, what it said? They say he stood mute. And they did every ungodly thing that they could to him. But he kept quiet. Because sometimes you can say something, and I know it's happened to all of us, and you could be telling the truth, but it's a bad feeling when you defend yourself. And it make it seem like you're even guiltier than when it started off. So sometimes you could not take that stance that I'm going to defend myself. Even when Mary Magdalene was caught in the very act of adultery and her accusers wanted to do some things to her, they wanted to, and they brought her before the Lord, he didn't say a word. He stood down, stooped down, and he wrote in the sand. Now, see, they didn't bring that old, that man. I'm trying to be nice. They didn't bring the man that got caught in adultery with. He probably was with them. But they say the woman got caught in the very act of adultery. Hey, you can't commit adultery by yourself. So whatever it was that he wrote, see, because sometimes we're going to go into looks. Have you ever been in a grocery store as a child, or you may have even done this to your child, and you give them that certain look, and whatever it is that they're doing, they straighten right up, straighten up and fly right. See, sometimes it does not require verbalization for you to tell somebody or let somebody know that you disapprove of what it is that they're doing. So moving right along, when the Lord wrote in the sand, it did not say, I don't think there's no record of what it was that he wrote down. He may have said, he that is without sin, afterwards, let him cast the first stone. So in other words, sometimes you could give a look or you could make a gesture that convict people on the spot. Because I know that sometimes when I've seen husbands and wives disagree, and the wife just got tired of the husband, and she just zipped her lip. And then she gave him that look. He kept on arguing. He said, what you say to me? She ain't said nothing. She just humming, going in the kitchen. She said, I'm through with it. Now, one of the points that I brought forth to you earlier is that you're supposed to be quiet, not to speak, to avoid what? To avoid conflict. Because if I know that it's going to start an argument, then I'm going to end up making myself look bad. Okay. It says, Proverbs 10:19, transgression is at work where people talk too much. But anyone who holds his tongue is prudent because, and see, this is very good because sometimes we can talk so much to our children, to our husbands, to our wives, to our friends, to our associates or whoever, and the words that we speak to them lose their impact. But then a stranger could come and they could say the same thing that we said, and see, I'm sorry, preachers, but a lot of times, you know, when we bring forth a repetitious sermon or a repetitious prayer, and those that is out there in the audience, they begin to know what we say word for word, it becomes less impactful. And even God's word says you got to beware of those people, those Pharisees and those Sadducees that say repetitious prayers. Got to be careful. And so we got to know when. And see, the knowledge of knowing when to speak, even when people are mistreating you, sometimes, as I say, you can say something and make it worse. And that brings about a justification to them. And so we're going to move right along from, we got to be silent from speaking evil. Proverbs 21st chapter, 23rd verse. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble.
Well, that's good.
I like that.
I do too.
Security guard on your lips. Because, see, if you say the wrong thing, see, some words, some thoughts are irretrievable. They do such damage to those that we send them to that they'd never look at us the same way. But, see, it says, but the man that guards his mouth and his tongue, see? We got to learn how to bridle that tongue. Like them jockeys, sometimes you see them pull back on that horse because that horse is outpacing himself. He's going to tire himself out. So sometimes our mouth and our tongues, guess what? They outpace us. We get home and say, oh, we like Urkel. Did I say that? Of course you did. So be able to think. Ephesians 4 chapter 29. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. So if I got to say something negative about you, it's always, even when you do something negative, I can tell you in a good way, hey, brother, hey, sister, it's a better way that you could have handled that situation. And I called them out for their wrongness, but I didn't publicize it and make them feel even worse than what they felt. Psalms 141:3. O Lord, set a guard at my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. See, sometimes, you know, we get to saying those Sunday school words and they just slip out. Or we say them without thinking because we didn't become aggravated about something. And sometimes it says, if one gives an answer before he hears it, it is his folly and shame. So be good to listen to what it is that a person has to say. Because today I had a conversation with my son, and he was telling me about some of the things that he wanted to do. And guess what? This Proverbs 18:13 telling us we got to wait a minute before we jump to the wrong conclusion. Say, you now listen. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Then once he explained what he was talking about, oh, I said, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to intrude upon your thoughts. I immediately thought that he was going in another direction. So Proverbs 18:13 said, one gives an answer before he hears it. So we're not to do that. We got to learn how to be quiet. And we must not be silent when it comes to warning others and exposing evil. So, as I said, we got to learn when to be quiet. We got to know when to be quiet. We also got to know when to speak up, because it would not be right for me to constantly telling you, you know, we got to be quiet. We got to be quiet. You can't say nothing about that. But when evil comes in your direction, you got to be able to, I'll say, nip it in the bud. You got to be able to warn others and expose that evil. But once again, Ecclesiastes tells us it's a time to do these types of things. It's a time that we should bridle our tongue. It's a time, the appropriate time. Because whatever it is, it's not going by unnoticed. God is not going to keep letting that fly. Ephesians 5:11 says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So in other words, if you come around me and you're doing this and you're doing that and I know that it's against God, I'm supposed to tell you, hey, you know, that's an inappropriate behavior. I'm not supposed to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Not supposed to say, well, I don't drink, but, you know, I take a slug of that beer. I'm not supposed to participate. If I don't do it and I know it's against my Father, then I'm supposed to withdraw from it. And the reason why we should not remain silent, James 5:20 says, let him know that he which coveted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. He that's, converted. So if I can tell you something in a good spiritual way, and you allow it to marinate within your soul, then I'm doing a good thing. But see, once again, we got to learn when. And see, that takes training, because there's a lot of people that are eager. You know, we get learn a few Bible verses, and we want to go out there and condemn sin all over the world. We want to condemn sin wherever it is. And see, this places us in this situation where we shouldn't be. Because Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse, tell that if our brother or our sister is overcome in a fault, it didn't say cuss him out, it didn't say bring him for the church, but it says restore him gently. Don't take it to your level of thinking. Just tell me, hey, you know, it's a more, as I said once again, it's a more excellent way that you could handle that. It's a better situation that could have come from your activities. So we got to learn how and when, learn how to be quiet. Because sometimes when we don't say nothing, the world automatically think that whatever activity it was, that we condone that activity. I've seen my pastor on many occasions say, the Lord did not move on me to say anything about that situation. The Lord did not move on me to speak. And see, this is where people get confused at, because we, some sins are so obvious. We come to church wanting the pastor or somebody in the vineyard to chastise that person and tear them down and just break them all the way to their lowest common denominator. And we come away, we go with the anticipation that that person is going to be told. But then we leave away feeling that that pastor is no good, that that pastor is not doing his job. If he's truly a servant of God, he's going to follow the instructions. He's not going to say something just to tickle the ears of men. Because it's a
minute
come home from church and say, oh, pastor told such and such a person off. Pastor told such and such a thing, a person about they gambling, about this, about that, about the other. And we relish sometimes in these activities. But Ecclesiastics say we got to learn. It's a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. Now, I just read to you from Galatians, a brother, even if a person is caught in some transgression, you are, you who are spiritual, correct that one in the general spirit, look into yourself, that you may also may not be tempted. So in other words, we can't be hypocritical, say one thing and do another. Can't tell them about talking to somebody in the church and we got everybody's number in there and it's not for consultation. You know, say I went bowling with Sister So-and-so, but hey, I don't know no bowling alleys that's open at 3:30 in the morning. Oh, we was all-night bowling alley. Yeah, that's all-night bowling alley, all right? So we have to be careful so that we are not tempted. It says the world will hate you for not being silent on what's right. But guess what? We are not the world. Now, we can let them know, hey, I disapprove of that. It will hate you when you're not silent. John 15, chapter 18, 19 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen out of the world, therefore the world hated you. So sometimes we got to be extra, extra careful when it comes down to these types of situations. We have to learn how to be quiet, because a lot of times when we begin to say things and do things, and the world is going to hit us. Now, Psalm 50 and 21, these things you have done, and I have kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order. So David, or the psalmist at that particular time, was telling us that you think I was going along with that? Not so. All right, so Job 34:29, when he keeps quiet, who then can condemn? He said, I didn't say a word. kept my mouth closed. And when he hides his face, who then can behold him? This is in regard to both nation and man. So see, sometimes when you be quiet, and see, it's a certain curiosity about that quiet fella. Now that one that's over there, that's drawing all the attention to himself, people, they don't worry too much about him. So, wow, this hour flew by, Brother Brown. It flew by in such a way that, are you going to open up the phone lines, Frank?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, may God bless you and may ever keep you. I just gave you a little something to chew on. So, no wind. I got a new one to be quiet, Brother Brown. I'm sorry.
that goes for all of us. You ain't the only one.
I got to be quiet and keep my mouth shut so somebody else can say something. Okay, turn it back over to Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. I know that you all was blessed by this awesome word from Deacon Marvin Cox tonight. I know I was. And this is a truth, and this really applies to each and every last one of us, whether we want to believe it or accept it or not. This applies to every last one of us. No one is exempt. So that being said, I've opened up the phone lines for anyone that may have a question to Deacon Marvin Cox regarding tonight's message, or if you want to give a word of encouragement, you can do so now. The phone lines are open. Yes. Hello? Yes. Hello? Was someone speaking? Hello? Well, praise the Lord, I just put somebody on mute. But anyway, the phone lines are open. Anyone would like to have words of encouragement for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to tonight's message? I know I was not the only one that was encouraged by this word. Anyone? The phone lines are open.
Praise
the Lord.
Yes. I'd like to thank Deacon Marvin Cox. Yes, this is Brother Isaiah Robertson. I'd like to thank the Brother Deacon Marvin Cox for a powerful message. It is also true that we must learn how to watch our guard our mouths, and because the enemy spoke through our mouth and caused more confusion. The word God says, babbling leads to more ungodliness. So we got to learn how to be patient and hold our tongue in the midst of evil, because sometimes we like to speak our mind, but we be the one end up getting in deeper trouble when we do that. So I'd like to thank him for that message.
Yes, and this is Isaiah Robinson's mom. And Mr. Cox, you know, I want to thank you for that wonderful message. And I felt that it was truly meant for me. I had an incident here at my home this week. And there were some things that I said due to the person disrespected me in my house, and I said some things that out of character, some of those Sunday school words, as Mr. Cox referred to. And I had held my peace for so long until, you know, I just felt that I couldn't hold it no longer. When this one particular incident happened in my home, this was a visitor in my home. A family member, and so I had to repent, of course, and ask for forgiveness. But you are so
right.
We do have to guard our tongues and our words, even though we are mistreated by others. But sometimes, you know, the carnal person inside of us just comes out
because
of the flesh.
The flesh takes over, that's right.
You know, you got to protect your home. You got to protect your body and your emotions. So sometimes you have to release it And sometimes, it, like you said earlier, it doesn't come out quite like you wanted to come out or you intended to come out. But what I do know that I serve a good God, a forgiving God,
yes.
a God
right.
that
yes.
when I repent, he hears me and he knows my heart.
Yes.
So
that's
so
right.
that gave me comfort. And I also know in his word that there's no condemnation.
That's right.
Anymore
that's right.
for those that love him and who are called according
yes.
to his will. And his, so,
right.
so God, let me know that you've done what you're supposed to do. And then I still reached out after the incident. But I want to thank you for that message because it wasn't only for me, but it was for a lot of people who have experienced things that of that nature. So thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You're so right, Sister Robertson. You're telling the truth. But because you don't feel bad. You're not the only one. I think we all, at one time or another, can if we're truthful to ourselves, we can admit it that we've been down that road too. Because you know what? If we never admit it, God knows. And guess
exactly.
what? We know too.
Exactly.
And so that's why we thank God for Jesus that we can go through him.
Said,
that,
go ahead. I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
And
now,
I said
but
when I was repenting, and when I was repenting to God, I said, now, God, you know that I can't lie to you because you know
that's
what
right.
was in my heart when
that's
I did
right.
it. I said, but
that's
God,
right.
I'm repenting for disappointing you because
right.
I don't ever want to lose your love and be separated from the love of you. So I'm repenting
right.
for that, but I'm not repenting, Father, for defending my home and my honor. I'm not repenting for that.
And yeah. he understands that too. That's what I love
he
about God. He searches our home. He's searching
yeah.
our hearts. That's right. And he knows our hearts. And that's why we thank God for Jesus. That when we do error,
yes.
because the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So no matter how saved you think you are, we're still in the flesh. And there are times when we will sin. Sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes it's willfully. And sometimes it's unwillfully. And we do it unintentionally. But thank God for Jesus. It goes back to Jesus that we can go through Jesus and be forgiven. And we can start like brand new,
okay.
like it never happened.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Robertson, for those words. And Brother Robertson, we're going to give anyone else a chance to say anything. The lines are still open. The phone lines are still open for anyone else. Well, I see we do have a lot of listeners that did dial in, but we do have sometimes we have listeners that dials in, but they don't say anything. But we thank God for you for dialing in. And we thank God for all those that are listening in through worldwide platforms around the world. We thank God for this ministry. We know that it is marvelous in our eyes. God is doing a great thing through this worldwide ministry. And thank God that it's now being heard through prisons all over the United States. Matter of fact, I got a letter
thank
from
God.
A prisoner this week, and he asked for the website for this broadcast so that him and some of the other inmates can be blessed by what God is saying through his people over this worldwide platform. So God is doing a great work through this worldwide ministry and platform. It's not in vain. And we just give God
Amen.
The glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So right now, we're going to pull out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We bless your name because we know that you are truly worthy of our praise. We thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, that is through him that when we do fall short of your word and we do fall short of your glory and we do fail and we do sin and we do things that are not in your will and against your word, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works. And we know that it will never lose its power. And we thank you that we can come through your Son, Jesus Christ, and ask for forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions. And you said that you would forgive us and you would throw them into the sea of forgiveness. And that way we can continue to walk in our purpose and fulfill our God purpose on the earth that you have designed for us to fulfill and a call for us to fulfill even before we were formed in our mother's womb, before the foundation of the world. You knew every one of us that was going to be here in the earth and the land of the living. So we pray, Lord, that you would allow us to continue to walk in our God purpose and help us to be able to hold our peace when we need to hold our peace and to be quiet when we need to be quiet. And we need to help us to learn how to speak up against those things that you are against, Heavenly Father, that we can be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, everywhere we go, that somebody will be able to see Jesus Christ in us, that you would get the glory individually through us, and then as a corporate body of believers all over the land, that you will get the glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise once again for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you extend to each one of us, although we know we don't deserve it. We can't earn it, but we thank you for it in Jesus' name and for being a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your faithful doers of your word and not just those that are heroes only. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray that all the people of God said, amen. Now we're going to close out with this song. We thank God for Jesus Christ that he thought that your life and my life was worth living. That's what he did. He came down and paid our sin debt with his own blood on the cross, because he knew it was a debt that we could not pay, even though we owed it. But that's why we're playing on as our closing song. This coming Saturday night, we're going to go back to our regular time at 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. starting this coming Saturday night. So you're going to tune in and be blessed by another word from the Lord. Until then, remember that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord and continue to encourage one another in God's word, not with your opinion or your feelings, but with God's word.
So you clean.